WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Say the name Miles Drentel, and many baby boomers still recoil. Drentel was the advertising executive on the TV series 30-something, a character who raised the art of intimidation to new heights by melding capitalist power games with Zen inscrutability. Drentel was played by my guest actor David Clennon. Since 30-something ended its run on TV, I've seen Clennon in two roles and barely recognized him in them because the characters were so different. He played a witty writer dying of AIDS on the HBO series Dream On. And now he co-stars as a low-key drug dealer in Paul Schrader's new film Light Sleeper. Clennon, Willem Dafoe, and Susan Sarandon play three drug dealers in New York who are looking to get out of the business because it's been ruined by crack. Schrader portrays the dealer as a kind of priest or therapist entering the inner life of each person he sells to. I wanted to know if Schrader talked to the cast about his vision of the drug dealer.
We talked about the culture, the world that these people move in before we even started shooting. We had some time to read through, and we actually had some time to rehearse all of the scenes that we shot in Anne's apartment, or the apartment belonging to Susan Sarandon's character. So we had, you know, discussed quite a bit about the drug culture and the drug world. And the main reason why I was excited about doing the film was that I thought, brilliantly written and unusual and a new perspective. But what was most remarkable to me was that Schrader was looking at the drug culture and at drug dealers without participating in the hysteria that goes on in this country around drugs. I think drug addiction is a serious problem in this country, and there's a tremendous amount of violence that surrounds the traffic in drugs. And I think that the approach that's been taken by the authorities in this country to dealing with the problem is completely wrong-headed. And I appreciated that Paul Schrader, looking at this situation from the inside and from his own experience, corroborated by my experience, was saying that people involved in this are human beings. They're not satanic creatures who should be taken out and shot.
Did you have a lot of experience with that?
With drugs?
And with suppliers?
Yeah. I mean, I used a lot of drugs from about 1965 till sometime in 81. And in my experience, the criminalization of drugs didn't stop me from using drugs. The threat of being busted or imprisoned wasn't a deterrent to me. What became a deterrent finally was the realization that I was wasting a lot of energy and corrupting my talent and risking my life.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk a little bit about your life. One of the things you've talked about in print before is that you were arrested several times, I think 9 times, all for, I believe, political reasons over the years.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things you were arrested for? Was it mostly demonstrations?
Well, sitting in at the Pentagon in 1967, October of 67, I guess, was the first time that I was arrested, and then I was openly and publicly resisting the draft for a couple of years after that. And I dropped out from about 1970 to 1980. I dropped out of political activism, and then in the 80s, I got involved in the struggles around El Salvador and Nicaragua.
In college, you were in ROTC, which is a military program. How did you get from a military program to political protests that were anti-military in nature?
I had 2 years of Army ROTC in high school in Waukegan, Illinois. I think it was the last high school in the country that had a mandatory military training program, and I wanted to be an astronaut when I went to college. But when I was a freshman in that course, I just found the authoritarian military mindset too hard, too difficult to take. I couldn't subordinate myself to their way of thinking and their demands for total compliance.
What was your...
So I dropped out of the... I dropped out of the Air Force ROTC.
Did you rebel while you dropped out? Did you drop out in a rebellious way?
Yeah, I refused to answer some questions the way they wanted me to answer them.
What does that mean?
Well, we were supposed to... when we were having an inspection one day, and I always had trouble getting a good shine on my shoes and good polish on my brass, and a lot of the kids in the program had the same problem. But during an inspection, we were supposed to answer all of our questions with a sir at the beginning and a sir at the end, and I got it into my head that was too many sirs, and it was too subservient to these 20-year-old kids who were trying to intimidate us. So I, you know, somebody said, "Mr. Clennon, you don't have a spit shine on your shoes." I said, "No, sir. And your brass isn't polished." "No, sir." And so after a few answers, they realized that I wasn't giving them enough sirs, so they came down on me and surrounded me and started screaming at me and eventually court-martialed me. It was a real tempest in a teapot.
Can you be court-martialed for not saying sir?
For not saying sir, yes, sir, or sir, no, sir. I told them I thought one sir was sufficient to, express my respect for their authority, but I didn't see the need for two. And
the official charges?
Freaked out. Some kind of insubordination, I think. Mm-hmm. So I got busted from Airman Third Class down to Airman Basic. It was a pretty trivial incident, although it was loaded with lots of fear and anger on both sides.
I guess what I find interesting about this in terms of your acting career, take your role as Miles Drentel on 30-something. He's a pretty authoritarian guy, this character that you are playing. I mean, not mm-hmm. exactly in the military mold, but in the area of business, he was pretty authoritarian and very sure of himself. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you borrowed anything from the military guys whose authority you rejected when you were creating the Miles Drentel character?
I might have, but I didn't think about it in those terms. I felt that most of the character was very clear on the pages of those scripts.
Mm-hmm.
The writers had done a really superb job, for the most part, in creating a very vivid character that you could imagine just by reading from the page and seeing the way he spoke and the actions that he took. And I didn't consciously employ anything that I had learned from the military experience that I'd had. I think, if anything, that character we're talking about would probably have been pretty contemptuous of most military discipline. He was much wilier and more manipulative than mm-hmm. most military personnel that I've had experience with.
Do you think your politics affect the kind of films you're interested in working in and the kind of roles that you'll accept?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't interested in doing a Clint Eastwood movie about the Cold War because
mm-hmm.
I thought it just fed that, it fed the paranoia and it reinforced the propaganda. So things like that, I don't want to do.
It's funny because in the two Costa Gavras films that I've seen you in, Betrayed and Missing, and in both of them you played people who were either representing the American administration, whose views in Central America you would be opposing yourself. You know, you, David Clennon, would be opposing. Mm-hmm. In Betrayed, you were a pretty right-wing guy.
Right-wing, Christian, fundamentalist, a real creep.
Well, how did you end up with the pro-administration and right-wing roles? Were those the roles you particularly wanted in the films?
Well, somebody's got to do those parts, and I think it's important that the villains in the stories that I want to tell, that the villains be absolutely convincing,
mm-hmm.
that they be real flesh and blood people. You can say, I really despise what that State Department guy stands for, but I believe that people like that exist in the world.
I wonder if there are any frustrations that you feel at this point in your career being an actor who's known but not famous and who gets decent roles but not leading roles in movies.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, it's in some ways I think you have to, if you want to break into that arena where you're the central character in the drama, I think you have to maybe create those situations yourself, collaborate with a writer maybe or a director. In the meantime, it's more, you know, it is interesting and rewarding to play characters that are maybe more sharply defined than leading characters that you hope are going to make an impression in a shorter period of time and have an impact on the way people see the story.
Well, I wish you the best, and I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks, Darren.
David Clennon is featured in the new film, Light Sleeper.